And welcome back to the CBSSports.com Eye on College Football podcast. I am Chip Patterson, and you have tuned in to the Expert Picks podcast. This is arguably one of our favorite to do, just because it gathers three of the Eye on College Football's brain trust, and we get to discuss not only some of our own expert picks, but all the expert picks. And so let me welcome now Tom Fornelli and Jerry Hinnan, beginning with you, Jerry. Since you are still the leader against the spread, 25-16 on the season, picking top 25 games, and we put you head-to-head against Tom last week. You took a bunch of dogs, you hit half of them. Do you think you got any bad breaks on last week's dogs?
Not really, honestly. I think I was done fairly by the system last week. It would have been nice if Tennessee Tech had gotten one score. It wasn't like the week before where I took New Mexico State plus the 42.5, and then New Mexico State scored the first touchdown of the game, which meant that to lose out on the 42.5, Texas would have to score 50 consecutive points, which they proceeded to do. They actually scored 56 in a row over the last, like, basically two quarters and a half to win the game. So that bugged me. But last week, no real bugging me. All the underdogs I picked got beat soundly and fairly.
And we will get to discussing that Texas game here in just a little bit. I will give you a hint. Tom likes the Longhorns in a bounce back. That's a spoiler.
Welcome.
All right, but we're enough with the underdogs. We need to start right at the top. It would be unfair to our listeners if we did not discuss the biggest game of the weekend, a game that has been talked about. September 14th is a date that has been mentioned since last year when Texas A&M in those iceberg whites went into Tuscaloosa, jumped out to a 20-0 lead on the way to a 29-24 victory, knocking off the Crimson Tide and sort of launching the legend of Johnny Football. Now the Crimson Tide return. They play at College Station. This game sort of changes the way the entire SEC West race will be the rest of the year. And in the two-time defending champions, Alabama, favored by 8.5 points. And both of the gentlemen on this call believe, along with Dennis Dodd and Jeremy Fowler, that Alabama will cover 8.5 points. Start with you, Tom. What was your thinking here that has the Tide winning by 9 or more?
First off, wasn't Iceberg White one of Bishop Don Magic Wand's friends?
not his birth name, but no, there were a couple of them. They're interchangeable.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to be clear. Yeah. As far as the football game you've asked me about, I'm going with Alabama just because, as we mentioned after the first week's games, even with the players suspended, Texas A&M's defense was a bit worrisome against Rice in that first week of the game. And that didn't really change to me last week because I know Sam Houston State is a good FCS school, but it's still an FCS school. And even though it's a strong offense, it was putting up quite a few points on the Aggies last week. So I feel like the Aggies' offense itself hasn't really been tested against anybody yet. Alabama is a tough test to get through. Also, Alabama had last week off. And while, you know, the concept of giving Saban extra time to prepare is overblown when it's 1 week, the truth is Alabama had a week to prepare extra, but Saban's been preparing for this game for a freaking year.
Yeah.
So I just feel like this is what Alabama has been working towards. It's like, I think they have two goals this year. One is obviously to win another national title, and the other one is to beat Texas A&M. So I feel like when Alabama is so supremely focused on doing something, it's going to do it.
Jerry, before I want to ask you, what am I doing wrong? Because oftentimes you do a great job of thinking with your head as opposed to thinking with your heart. And in my heart, I really believe that since both of these staffs, not just Nick Saban, but both of these coaching staffs have been preparing for each other, that it's just going to be one of those games that starts off with just body blows. And maybe someone hits a home run, but I don't know if we're going to see anything like the early lead. And just because I think it'll be a slow starting game, I have trouble imagining the score getting to a point where Alabama could cover 8.5. I do have the Tide winning for a lot of the reasons Tom said. But again, this is all heart. Tell me what my head should be thinking in this pick.
Well, I think your head needs to realize that Alabama simply comes out more focused on the road than they do at home. Over the last two seasons, they've played 9 road games, and they are, I believe, 7-2 against the spread on the road. They lost to LSU last year, and I think they had one hiccup the year before that. You know, they're just an incredible team on the road. Blew out Missouri last year, blew out Tennessee last year. They blew out Penn State 2 years ago. You know, it just takes something really unusual to rattle the tide when they go on the road. And, you know, the width of the spread makes me nervous. Like, if it was under a touchdown, I would feel a lot better about it. But once you start talking about covering, you know, not just the 7, but 8.5, and saying, well, Alabama's basically going to have to get up to double digits to cover the spread, it makes me nervous. But I can't go against that track record. And like, you know, Tom said, we're talking about, you know, Saban knows how important this game is. And I think this is a sort of game that might actually be a little bit personal for him. I feel like the soul of the SEC West, to some extent, is on the line here.
Absolutely.
You know, him saying, is this what we want football to be after Ole Miss's spread gave them some problems last year, knowing that, you know, he feels like, you know, a no-huddle offense like Kevin Sumlin has made his livelihood on is something that he would sort of prefer to maybe have some rules set in against, you know. You know, and then like Johnny Manziel's, you know, I don't want to call him antics, but let's say off-field issues, you know, some of that stuff. Right, yes, joie de vivre. Thank you, Tom. It's just so hard to imagine a Nick Saban player ever doing something like that. I just feel like this is the perfect sort of philosophical yin and yang showdown here. And I think that's going to give Saban a little bit of an edge, an even greater edge in his preparations this week and in his team's focus. And I think they come out of here, you know, with a 10-point victory.
I've got it as a 10-point game, and then Johnny Manziel, heroic, gets him a touchdown, gets him in field goal range with a missed field goal, Alabama wins. All right, we got UCLA traveling to Memorial Stadium with heavy hearts to face Nebraska. The Cornhuskers are 4.5-point favorites at home. And both the gentlemen here like Cornhuskers to win and to be able to win by at least 4.5. Starting with you, Jerry, what was your thought on this game?
Nebraska's at home, and I think their defense is a little bit better than it showed 2 weeks ago against Wyoming. I think the large number of experts here at CBS Sports last week took Southern Miss in the 28.5 points and were proven decisively wrong on that score. It's going to be a shootout. There are going to be points scored in both directions all over the place. I think ultimately Taylor Martinez is so underrated as a passer. He was the most efficient quarterback in the Big Ten last season because you have to respect his ability to run. You have to respect Amir Abdullah's ability to run the ball. And UCLA has a completely revamped secondary. I think Martinez hits them for a few big plays. And, you know, this is one of those spreads that's close enough where you kind of have to go with the same team for both your straight-up pick and your against-the-spread pick. And I think the Huskers get it done.
And Taylor Martinez, 70% passer already on the season this year as well, to back your point up. Tom, what are you thinking on this game?
I'm thinking I'd much rather bet the over-under than the line. But I agree with Jerry. It's going to be a shootout, and I'm going with Nebraska to win the game, which is why I picked Nebraska. But as far as why I think Nebraska's going to win the game, I do think the death of the teammate's going to play a small role in UCLA because, you know, it's been a tough week for the Bruins. But the other factor that has me leaning towards Nebraska more than anything is the game is in Lincoln, and the game is at 11 a.m. in Lincoln, which in L.A. time is 9 a.m. So I feel like the Bruins, it's going to be a very early morning game for them as far as their body clocks are concerned. And I think they're going to get off to a slow start because of it. And that alone right there might be the difference, because I'm not all that confident after watching last year's game in either of these teams' defenses' ability to stop the other one.
Yeah, I picked the Bruins to win straight up and the Bruins, obviously, to cover the spread. And I'm doing it knowing that it's not only going to happen if linebackers Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr, two players that are NFL scouts, are very high on. This is a what I would call a tape game. This is an opponent that you want to put things on tape for. If they want to get paid on Sundays, the big bucks, they need to step up. I'm saying they do. All right, let's go to Soldier Field, Chicago, Illinois, as Washington, after a week off following a very convincing win over Boise State, is playing a surging Fighting Illini team. 2-0 with new offensive coordinator Bill Cubitt, a finally healthy Nathan Shielhouse. The Illini are 10.5-point underdogs. Tom, got to start with you here. What are you thinking here on this pick, and how do you see the game playing out?
I've actually got the Illini covering and pulling off the upset. It's laugh while you want, but I mean, how many times in the last few years have we thought Washington's arrived only to see them lay an egg in the very next game?
Fair. Absolutely fair.
How many times have we seen Washington go on the road and lay an egg?
Washington is 0-4 in road openers under Steve Sarkisian and 1-3 against the spread in those games too. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And Illinois is a team that this is a very important game to Illinois. I mean, marketing wise, I live in Chicago, and on the radio, I hear commercials for this game. On television, I see commercials for this game like 20 times a day. This is a huge deal for them playing in Chicago because there's a battle between them and Northwestern to grab the Chicago market, which in reality will never belong to anybody. But
it's the Bears.
Yeah, it belongs to the Bears, yeah. And that's and the Blackhawks. Everybody else can go screw themselves. But sorry, everybody else. But it's just that this is a very important game, and I feel like the Illinois offense has played well enough where I've got them winning outright, which I'm not nearly as comfortable in as I am that they're going to cover the spread, because the game's in Chicago. Washington's flying all the way in from Seattle, which is, you know, a long flight, and it definitely takes a toll on your body to be in a plane that long. So I feel they're going to, with the offense, will be good enough to cover. I'm going with the win just because it's a gut feeling. I don't really have a reasoning behind it other than what I've given you. So I think the cover is pretty safe, to be honest.
The Washington, I do think, is the better team, and they will emerge with a victory. Jerry, what's your thinking here?
My thinking is that this line is a complete overreaction to Illinois beating Cincinnati like a drum last week, and the reaction to that is something of an overreaction to Cincinnati beating Purdue the week before like a drum. Purdue was fortunate to get away with beating Indiana State. They scored one offensive touchdown against that same Sycamores team that gave up 73 to Indiana. Purdue is awful. Cincinnati is not as good as they looked. In turn, Illinois is not as good as they looked. If you go back after week one and you look at Washington just annihilating Boise State, which we all know is a very solid program, and you look at Illinois scraping past Southern Illinois, you have to think this line is in the 21-point range. This is still, you know, the same Illinois program that went 2-10 last year. Obviously, they're better. But I don't think one very good performance against a Cincinnati team that's still quite questionable in and of itself means this game ought to be under two touchdowns in terms of the number. I'm actually pretty confident in Washington in this game.
We've got Wisconsin and Arizona State. The Sun Devils are 4.5-point favorites. All three of us have the Sun Devils winning the game and covering that number. It is Jeremy Fowler and Dennis Dodd have the Badgers. Starting back with you, Jerry, what was your read on the Sun Devils in their second game of the season?
Well, it's a little bit tricky because we don't know anything about either one of these teams. So far, their collective three opponents have been Sacramento State, Tennessee Tech, and UMass, all of which are horrendous teams. What I ultimately went with here, Arizona State went 6-1 as a favorite last year. They've gone 14-6 since 2007, as long as you throw out kind of a weird 2011 season as a home favorite. So they have a pretty good track record playing there in Sun Devil Stadium. You know, I'm not sure how well Wisconsin's going to travel. It's a toss-up, but I'm leaning with the home team.
I think Taylor Kelly, obviously, second year in the offense. They put up a lot of points on Sacramento State, but they also move up-tempo. If Wisconsin falls behind, then they're no longer able to lean on that Melvin Gordon, James White, Corey Clement rushing attack. And so I think that Joel Stavi is just not good enough to move the ball through the air. Tom, you got anything on this one?
Fun fact, in Wisconsin's two games so far this year, its defense has not had to play anybody in the red zone yet. Nobody's gotten inside the 20, nobody's gotten inside the 20-yard line on the Badgers.
So as soon as Arizona State does, it's just hands in the air. Like, I don't even know what
experience.
To do right here.
They don't know what to do. They're gonna look at the sidelines and be all confused, and Arizona State's going to score like 7 touchdowns on 1 possession. It's going to be insane. No, I think it'll change this week. But as far as the actual outcome of the game, Wisconsin's gone to 3 straight Rose Bowls, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
How have things fared every time they've gone west of the Rocky Mountains?
No bueno.
Yeah, so I'm going to, in a game I think will be that close, I think I'm just going to follow that trend of Wisconsin going west generally doesn't fare too well. So I'm going to go with Arizona State as the home team. And since the spread's so narrow, if I'm going to pick Arizona State to win, I got to take them to cover as well.
The only way that all of us win is if Will Sutton gets a goal line carry from the fullback position for Arizona State.
Yes,
then the world wins.
Yeah, then the world wins. All right, we got another team that's traveling west from the Big Ten, Ohio State, playing the return date of what was sort of an odd game against Cal last year. Cal made it interesting early, and they are 15.5-point underdogs at home. And there is one lone wolf here that is taking the Buckeyes to win and to cover 15.5 at Cal, and that's Jerry. So, Tom, if you don't mind, I'm just going to turn the floor over to him and hear what has you, Braxton Miller, strained MCL and all, what has you having faith in the Buckeyes?
It's not necessarily faith in the Buckeyes as much as it is unfaith in Cal. I think they did not look good against Portland State last week. Ohio State, specifically their offense, is, you know, a level above, I think, what they've seen so far. Northwestern obviously brought in a very solid unit, but Ohio State looked very good before taking their foot off the pedal a little bit against Buffalo, and then again last week against San Diego State. I don't trust that Cal defense at all to do much to stop them. And then, again, Ohio State's defense is much stouter than Northwestern's defense, much stouter than Portland State's defense. I don't know. I feel like Ohio State, even though they didn't cover that first week against Buffalo, you know, I was still fairly impressed with how well that offense was humming before, like I said, they sort of took their foot off the pedal a bit. I don't know. I'm just feeling an Ohio State cover here.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Tom, what do you have on this game?
I don't.
Yeah, that was well done.
Not even. I don't know how to follow that. I have Ohio State winning, but historically the Buckeyes, like most Big Ten teams, have trouble going west. So I feel like that 15.5-point underdog at home is a bit too enticing to pass up for the Cal Golden Bears. And also, the Buckeyes, since this will be the fourth time they've gone out west since the 2007 season. In the first three games, they've gone 1-2. That lone win came against a Washington team in 2007 that finished 4-9. When the Buckeyes go outside of Ohio during non-conference since 2007, they're 2-2. That one Washington win and the other win was against Toledo, which wasn't exactly leaving home. They lost to Miami and they lost to USC.
Right.
So
Toledo's in Ohio.
I'm sorry. I mean when they go outside of home, not Ohio.
That was okay.
Phrasing. But still, technically, that's just that's a home game in a different stadium because it's the state of Ohio. But anyway, exactly. It's just Ohio State in non-conference has a history of struggling. I mean, they upset Texas in 2006, which is really the last time they've left Columbus for a non-conference game early in the year and played well. So I just feel like that 15.5-point spread, especially when you consider how close this game was between these two teams last year, it was only a 7-point game. So if you're going to give me over 2 touchdowns at home with the underdog, I'll take it. I like my odds.
Yeah, this feels just like a weird game. Totally gut pick for me. Ole Miss at Texas. Texas is a 3.5-point favorite. 4 of the 6 CBSSports.com experts are going with the Rebels to cover the 3.5, and Tom and Jeremy Fowler are going with the Longhorns. So we're going to start with you, Tom. You got Texas getting back on track, I guess, defensively and, you know, maybe putting up a bunch of points. Do you see this as a shootout, or do you think that they just dominate from the beginning?
As I wrote in Line Study on Monday, I think this is an overreaction line for the most part. yes, Texas defense had a terrible performance against BYU, and no, Greg Robinson isn't going to be able to fix it in a week. But what I can't help but look back at is last year's game between Texas and Ole Miss, which took place in Oxford. Now, you can worry about Texas's defense, but let's not forget that in last year's matchup on the road, the Texas offense rolled up 676 yards of offense against the Ole Miss defense. So I have no reason to believe that Ole Miss can stop them suddenly just because Ken DJ is on the line. And also, let's not forget that on the road last year, Texas beat this team by 35 points. So if you're going to tell me that they only given up a field goal at home against them, I don't see any way in hell I could pass that up.
I got you. And I got you. I went with Ole Miss. If they're going read and react and trying to teach new defensive line technique, I think that this is the wrong team to be facing with misdirection and up-tempo. And, you know, if you take time to react, Jeff Scott's just run for a touchdown. Jerry, what was your thinking on this one?
My thinking is that Texas gave up 550 yards of rushing to BYU last week. BYU is not even a good offensive team. You know, they are not as well coached offensively as Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss is. Last year's game is, yeah, a little bit troubling, but these are two completely different teams from what we saw last, well, not completely different, but different teams from what we saw last season.
The Texas team, you know, is the same. Just want to make that clear. It's the exact same Texas team.
Apparently. But Ole Miss improved dramatically as the season went on. I think they're a solid team. I'm the guy who's driving the Ole Miss bandwagon. I'm the one who had them in my top 10 to start the season. I've had them second in the West to start the season. I'm not jumping off just because they gave up more points than I expected to Vanderbilt. They took last week completely off, you know, against Southeast Missouri State. I think they're really ready for this, and I don't think Texas is.
All right, let's go into a little bit of a lightning round. First to Tom, Notre Dame and Purdue. Everybody is on the Irish to cover 20.5, except for Dennis Dodd. What is Dennis Dodd thinking, and is he crazy?
Dennis is just close friends with Jerry Palm.
He just feels bad.
Yeah, he's trying to throw Jerry a bone here. He knows how important this game is to Palm. But no, Purdue, as Jerry went over earlier, we discussed, Purdue's terrible. It's a very, very bad football team. And I know Notre Dame lost against Michigan last week, but Notre Dame didn't exactly, you know, didn't play poorly. They just lost to a good team on the road. So I feel that Notre Dame's not going to have any problem with this game, because if Purdue can't score against Cincinnati and it can't score against Indiana State, how's it going to score against the Irish? And finally, how the hell is this game the ABC primetime game of the week?
Oh,
I don't know.
Who the hell is going to watch this game for more than a quarter?
Well, it's because
Jerry Palm.
Yeah, besides Palm, sitting there crying with his, you know, burn notice shirt on. He's
What is burn notice?
It's burn a show notice on USA.
On USA Today. Characters welcome.
I was talking about Jason Sudeikis' Saturday Night Live skit where he has a game show and it's just, what is burn notice? Nobody can name it. And then Jason Sudeikis is like, it is the fourth highest rated drama on cable. Does anybody know what is burn notice? All right. Anyway, back to football. Jerry, you and Dennis are all alone going with Tennessee on the road in Eugene, going up against the number 2 ranked Oregon Ducks. You've got them covering 25.5. What do you like about Butch Jones' squad that makes you think they will travel well?
It's not that necessarily as much as Oregon played 3 non-conference teams last season at home, all with very, very wide spreads, and failed to cover in any of the 3. I have 3 words for you, which rhyme with schmack, schmor, schmover. That may have been a little obscure. I was going for backdoor cover.
Okay.
Yes, sorry.
Tell me what I've won, Bob.
You've won Tennessee scoring a touchdown in the last 2 minutes to cover.
Yes. Oh, wait, that would make me lose because I picked Oregon.
So that wouldn't be a yes. All right, Tom, lightning round. What do you think about the Sooners covering 26.5 against Tulsa?
I think I had made a bad pick. I feel like, you know, Oklahoma, I feel like the Belldozer is going to steamroll some people. You know, Tulsa had trouble with Bowling Green, and Bowling Green's a good running team. So I feel like Oklahoma, with the quarterback problems and the fact that Blake Bell's starting, he's going to focus on the run game this week, and I think it'll be enough to overcome Tulsa because that defense has still been very impressive through 2 weeks.
Jerry, what is your thought on South Carolina Vanderbilt? You, along with three other CBSSports.com experts, have the Gamecocks bouncing back, covering 12.5. Does Vanderbilt have a chance to be able to go into Williams-Brice, where Connor Shaw is so good, and make this close?
Possibly, maybe not. I'm interested to see how South Carolina responds to their loss last week. But as we've talked about on the podcast before, ever since Connor Shaw became the starter, this team has absolutely rolled at home. Got another cover a couple of weeks ago against North Carolina. Vandy, you know, they've been pretty good against the spread wherever they've played under James Franklin, but they have had some problems on the road. They lost to Georgia 48-3 last season. Until I see a little bit more from them on the road and a little bit less at home from the Gamecocks, I think the smart play is the Gamecocks.
Tom, you got Oklahoma State as a 49.5 point favorite at home against Lamar. Tons of controversy swirling off the field. What do you think happens on the field?
I think Oklahoma State's going to cover because I'm told they're paying by the point.
Ah, that's a good one. Jerry, you also picked Oklahoma State to cover. 49.5 didn't seem large for this Cowboys team?
Lamar is terrible. I mean, it's just the one guy. So
He's Lamar Burton.
It's Lamar.
Yeah. The lesser Burton brother.
It's like mascot challenge on the video game. You're just playing 11 Lamars every single time you go out there.
There are some good teams in the Southland Conference. Sam Houston State, which we just talked about, is one of them. As far as I know, Lamar is not. So, and Oklahoma State tends to roll against these sort of overmatched FCS teams. They beat poor Savannah State, 80-3 last season or something like that. Yeah. I like the Cowboys.
Yeah, unlike a lot of teams, Oklahoma State's not afraid to run up the score on bad teams.
Yeah, I got you. I understand. All right, Tom, last one. Kentucky hosting Louisville. Teddy Bridgewater show comes in to the Wildcats' house. They are 12.5 point favorites. You've got Kentucky covering the spread. How close do you think the final score is?
You know, I don't think it's going to be close. I think it'll be a 10-point game. I fully expect Louisville to win. It's just in a rivalry game like this, and the home team's getting nearly two touchdowns. I feel like, the actual gambler, not the analyst inside me, would say, you take nearly two touchdowns with the home team in this situation, even if it is Kentucky.
Well, my thanks once again to Tom Fornelli and Jerry Hinnan. Follow them on Twitter at Tom Fornelli, at Jerry Hinnan. I am Chip Patterson. Hope you enjoy the weekend's games. Be sure to tune in on Monday morning for the Week 3 Rewind. And if you subscribe on iTunes, you'll get it Sunday night. So that should be some incentive to go there, review, rate. Tell us how much you love this podcast, because I sure hope you do. For Tom Fornelli, Jerry Hinnan, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks so much for listening.